Everybody get that?
Yep.
I don't know why I think that's funny. Let's see. Okay, Randy, you mind saying a prayer to get started?
Sure. Our Holy Father, we're just thankful for this day, that we're thankful for Zoom, that we can get together and study your word in this manner. We're just encouraged by it. We're encouraged by those who are in attendance here. And we're just thankful for the doctors and nurses and all who are attending to John at this time, and that his surgery went well. We just pray that he have quick recovery and be able to travel home safely. We just continue to pray with those who are fighting COVID and watch over them. And we know it's going through just so many people. Be with the Rusks and be with Jesse and Andy. And we just know that so many of us are affected by it. We just pray you continue to be with Bill and help him to get well. And we just ask you, dear Lord, you be with all those who are spiritually weak at this time and help them to be encouraged. And just please help us to, as we do study Exodus, that we make application to our lives so that we can glorify you in the things that we do, and we can enter into heaven with you because of the death of your Son. And in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I haven't seen Deb, and I had tried to call her several times, and she's not answering. Have anybody heard from her?
She was on Zoom last night for worship.
Oh, good. Okay.
I know it's not what you're asking, but...
No, but at least they let me know that she's okay.
Oof. I can send her a text real quick if you want.
Well, I'll try and call her first thing in the morning.
Okay. Well, so now you got me wondering, because she's had a stroke. I don't remember if she's had follow-up strokes.
Yeah, I talked to her, I think, last Friday. And so I said, well, hopefully I see you Sunday. She said, I hope to be there, but I didn't see it. She wouldn't come. So I tried to call her, and I haven't been able to get her.
Well, she was on Zoom last night.
Oh, that's good then. She's probably just... not feeling good.
Well, a lot can happen in 24 hours, so we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, chapter 9. Here we go. The plays continue. I've lost track. How many are we in? This is the
fifth one.
This is the fifth one already. Wow. And we've already had the we talked last week about how God is starting to make distinctions between Israel and the Egyptians. We talked about how he may have been already, and if he hadn't, why he hadn't. But we're going to see that, I think, in every plague from now on, that God is going to make that distinction, and he's going to tell Pharaoh there's going to be a distinction. It's not until the last plague, though, that he asks Israel to do something about that distinction.
Okay.
So, verses 1 through 7, somebody please read that.
Go ahead.
Well, I will try. I'm going to be reading out of King James, will try.
You were just saying before we got started how the NIV is so much easier. You're still going to try the King James?
I gave my NIV to my grandson. And I haven't been able to get to the bookstore since then.
Well, you got your iPad. You could pull up any Bible you want on that.
How can I do that? And I do. I read it on... I read the NIV on my iPad, but I can't look at you and talk to you. And
oh, right. Right. Okay.
All right. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go."
And he froze. All right, why don't you go ahead, Linda?
That's what King James does for you.
Okay. I'm going to do the NIV this time.
Okay.
Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, say. Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them back, the hand of the Lord will bring a terrible plague on your livestock in the fields, on your horses, donkeys, and camels, and on your cattle, sheep, and goats. But the Lord would make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt. So so that no animal belonging to the Israelites would die. The Lord set a time and said, tomorrow the Lord would do this in the land. And the next day the Lord did it. All the livestock of the Egyptian died, but not one animal belonging to the Israelite died. You said seven?
Mm-hmm.
Pharaoh investigated and found that not even one of the animals of the Israelite had died, yet his heart was unyielding, and he would not let them go.
Told here again, but it does kind of imply in verse 7, we're not told that Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh again, but verse 7 kind of implies that, but it's not necessarily mm-hmm. true either. And I think there was either lice or the flies last week where that happened too. It doesn't talk about Moses and Aaron going to Pharaoh. It just sort of happens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mike's going to do a phone tree about John.
We're all going to get a phone call all at once.
Yeah.
Weren't we?
Yeah. I'll pause the recording when that happens.
Yeah.
I guess Bill had to disconnect and had to get back on. Oh, and Barbara's getting on now.
Uh-huh. Hi, Barbara.
She's not quite on yet. But we also have this time thing again. It says, where'd it go? Thus, I want people to go if you say.
The Lord set a time on.
Yeah, no, there it is. Tomorrow, the Lord will do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this passage of time now. So if anybody wants to do it, I'm doing everything I can not to, because I know if I start doing it, I'll just get. If anyone wants to try to keep track of the time that is actually noted in the plagues as we go through. Someone wants to take that on. You don't need to tell me you're going to do it. Just if someone will, that'd be cool. If not, then we just won't have it. But it's we're talking a bit. We're talking about good. What did we say last time? 3 weeks last time. Because of all the cleanup that would have had to go along with the frogs, we could be over a month. And we don't know. We also don't know when the Nile was turned back to water. The Lord did this thing. The livestock died. But the livestock of the sons of Israel did not die. This is a pretty straightforward plague. But we are, as Randy pointed out last week, seeing this progression from the river to the ground and to the insects and now to the animals. And the insects infested the animals and humans, but the plague wasn't itself. Well, I guess it was on the animals and the human, but this is different now. Now there's death. The fish died in the Nile, I guess, but now we got major death. So livestock dying, right? Big animals,
mm-hmm.
like frogs, that would have taken some time to clean up.
Mm-hmm.
But now the livestock dying, cows, probably not sheep, because that's abominable to the Egyptians, apparently. But what other livestock they had, maybe pigs, all that died. And so now they got all that clean up. And when it says in verse 7, when it says Pharaoh sent, everyone knows what that means, right?
Pharaoh sent. Know what?
Anyone know what that means? When it says Pharaoh sent?
Didn't he inquire of what happened in Goshen?
Yeah, he's trying to find out what's going on, and sure enough,
yeah.
Not only did all their livestock die, none of the land of Goshen died, or at least none that belonged to Israel. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty straightforward plague. Let's have someone else go ahead and read, unless someone has any questions or concerns or comments about this next plague. That was 5, right, Linda?
Uh-huh, that was 5.
Right, so that was 5, so now we're getting into the next plague. Anyone have anything they want to ask or say about that plague?
I think also we need to consider that their livestock were their wealth for so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about you losing all your wealth. It's not that they had, big houses and that's where their wealth was wrapped up in. Their wealth was wrapped up in their livestock.
That's a good point. So now it's starting to get economical.
Yeah.
It's not just.
And their food.
Right. Obviously.
Yeah. Now we're hitting the food supply and the money supply. Good point, Randy. Anybody else? All right, if someone else wants to take on the next plague, verses 8 through 17.
Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handfuls of soot from the kiln and let Moses throw it towards the sky in the sight of Pharaoh. And it will become fine dust over all the land of Egypt and will become boils, breaking out with sores on men and beasts through all the land of Egypt. So they took soot from a kiln and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses threw it towards the sky, and it became boils, breaking out with sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians as well as all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not listen to them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Let me keep going.
To 17.
Okay. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you and your serpents and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For if by now I have put forth my hand and struck you, and your people with pestilence, you would then have cut off, you had then been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this cause, I have allowed you to remain, in order to show you my power, and in order to proclaim my name through all the earth. Still, you shall exalt yourself against my people by not letting them go.
All right, thank you. All right, so we have almost a repeating pattern again with how this plague starts. But it's different too. So go to a kiln. And what's a kiln?
A kiln.
A kiln. What's a kiln?
Place where they burn things and there's soot from the ash.
Right. What are they burning though? What's the purpose of it?
Could be for food, could be for a lot of things. Could be purifying metals.
Mm-hmm.
Kilns typically are for making pottery, but they could be used for other things too. They could have been used for metalworking. There's another famous kiln that is talked about in the Bible. Anyone remember that one?
Church of Christ.
Nope.
What happened?
I don't know. Someone's Where? Thing said Church of Christ. Oh, someone's getting a phone call.
Oh, I am.
Yeah, I just got it too.
We're all getting it.
Yeah. What was it? Oh, the Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego.
Yep.
It's called a furnace, but it's the same idea. Now, for whatever reason, God didn't want him to take soot from just anywhere. It had to be a kiln. In fact, now I'm curious. Come on, internet. There we are. A kiln is a thermally insulated chamber, a type of oven that produces temperatures sufficient to complete some process such as hardening, drying, and it just shut off, not cut off, cut off. Hardening, drying, or chemical changes. Kilns have been used for millennia to turn objects made from clay into pottery, tiles, and bricks. Various industries use rotary kilns for bioprocessing to calcinate ores, to calcinate limestone and limestone to lime for cement, and to transform many other materials. So remember what the Israelites' job pretty much is when they're slaves in Egypt. What is it?
Make bricks.
To make bricks. And so one of the things a kiln is for is to harden and finish the process of making bricks. You can do it in the sun, but so if, let's just say, that a kiln that Moses went to was used for making bricks. There could be some symbolism there of the thing that almost represented their slavery, God is using to work their way to freedom. If that's what it was doing. But it, you know, it's, they could be used for all kinds of things. Let me get back to this. All right. So anyway, don't just get the soot from anywhere. Get it from a kiln. And instead, this time, instead of stretching his hand over it or striking it with the staff, this time it's the... Anybody ever watch LeBron James or other NBA players? How they'll take that white powder and they'll do that and then they'll go like that and kind of throw the powder up?
Yep.
That's sort of what I envision of Moses doing. Not the showboaty thing, but throw it towards the sky. I imagine Moses taking a big handful of it and just kind of going like, let me get my video. There it is. Like that. Doesn't matter. Anyway, the point is, but just like with the gnats or the lice, the soot, and it's not dirt anymore, it's now soot. Though, I hadn't thought of that. So there could be a lot of things in there, right? So it's not, so there was the Nile, then there was dirt, then there was animals, and now it's soot, the product of burning things. It's a very interesting thing God is doing. And it throws towards the sky and it becomes the dust, but it becomes not gnats or some other living creature. Okay. It becomes boils. Anybody ever have a boil?
It hurt bad, yeah.
They hurt bad?
Mm-hmm.
I've had boils, yes.
Yeah, do they hurt bad?
Yeah.
I may have had I don't think I had a boil. I think it was an ingrown hair. I couldn't ever see it. It was on the back of my neck. Oddly enough, right there. But, no, it was there.
That would have been a boil.
Remember that? Yeah, I think it was just a hair. But anyway, there's also another person who... famous person in the Bible that was suffering from boils.
Was the one the beggar, the dog.
Okay, now there's two other famous people in the Bible who suffered from boils.
Oh.
I forgot about Lazarus. I'm thinking of the other one.
Job.
Yeah.
Job.
Again, threw it toward the sky. So, and verse 10 says they did this in front of Pharaoh. So again, Pharaoh's, it's been a couple plagues since they've actually watched, or since Pharaoh's actually watched Moses and Aaron do their thing. But now they're back in front of Pharaoh and they might have done it twice. They might have done it away from Pharaoh and they might have gone to Pharaoh and said, hey, watch this, buddy. Boom. And the magicians could not stand. Why?
They were infected by him as well.
Yeah, and they couldn't reproduce it.
Right.
So, very interesting plague, this plague of boils with the soot and that is from a kiln. Anyway, a lot of things there. And I think this might be, I haven't been keeping track very much, but this might be the first time that the Bible says the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart in verse 12. And again, we're going to talk about that after the Exodus, after Exodus 14, after the song of Miriam, or after the song of Moses. But and then the Lord says to Moses, rise up early in the morning. So here we have yet another day passing. Stand before Pharaoh, say to him, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. And we talked about this in chapter 5, what that means about worshiping and serving and things like that. So hopefully you guys remember that. And then there's this interesting, it's almost a threat. You know, I've been holding back on you so far. If I had really wanted to, I'd be wiping you guys out. That's kind of paraphrasing what
he's
saying.
That's what it
sounds
like.
And I find it interesting that God mentions something in verse 15. If by now I put forth my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, you would have been cut off from the earth. Now, I always thought pestilence was what happened with the lice and the flies. That's
so
what I always thought. But God's saying, no, I haven't done that yet. Any thoughts on that, anyone?
I agree with you. I thought that was pestilence, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought pestilence was bugs, was flies. And
well, it could be. Randy, do you want to say something?
No, in a minute, after you finish this, you know.
Okay. It could be that one of the things I think of with pestilence, too, is not just that it's bugs, but that the bugs are eating all the crops.
Mm.
And neither the gnats or the lice or the flies did that. They just kind of got out on people and got into everything. So, in fact, a plague that's coming with locusts, and I haven't read ahead yet, and I'm not remembering. I'm trying not to look ahead. He's going to send locusts in a couple of plagues. And locusts are usually the things that end up eating up crops a lot of times.
Indeed.
In fact, there was even one of the early Pixar movies was about that very thing. So,
we got two more, one more before the locusts, I think.
Yeah, the hail.
And then it's locusts, I think.
I think so. Yeah. Hello?
It's me, my doctor.
Okay, I'll mute you. You go talk to your doctor.
Hi there.
Let's see, where's Bill?
Zoom.
There he is. Okay. Sorry, I had to have some water. Okay. But then we have verse 16 and 17 that are really theologically important to everything that's going on, that has gone on and will go on. Indeed, for this reason, I've allowed you to remain. I think the King James and New King James say, for this reason, I raised you up.
It say raise you up.
Yeah. In order to show you my power, in order to proclaim my name through all the earth. Mm-hmm. Remember Rahab? We studied her last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
How did she decide to switch sides and join up with the Israelites?
Was it the power of God? I read it, but I can't remember.
She mentions how the people there in Jericho had heard how their God had brought them out of Egypt by a powerful hand. And remember, too, that was 40 years earlier. So the effects of what God did to Egypt were resonating 40 years later, where Rahab is still, and again, we don't know how old Rahab was. She's young enough where her parents are still alive, but old enough to either be a harlot or an innkeeper. So she's on the borderline of even being born when the Exodus happens. That's how effective what God is doing to Egypt is being, that 40 years later, and really a whole other country, Rahab's, the people are still being affected by that. And we'll come back to this, the two different ways that's read, and for this reason I allowed you to remain, or for this reason I raised you up. We'll come back to that when we study God hardening Pharaoh's heart. But these two verses, anyway, verse 17, but still you exalt yourself against my people. And I find that interesting, is this, you're exalting yourself not against God, but against my people.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting, by not letting them go. And I really have nothing to say about that, except that there's definitely a connection that God's people have with God, where even in the New Testament, there's some language that almost seems as if to do something to us is to do something to God. To do something to God is to do something to us.
It sounded like he was tormenting the people, and God didn't like that.
Yeah, which, you know, if you think about it, what's the great law of being a human on the earth?
To elevate God.
The second one.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the Egyptians were not doing that with the Israelites. And that could be what God is talking about. You're not even letting them come and worship me. That's how oppressive and oppressive you are being toward, and unjust you are being towards these people, my people. You won't even let them go 3 days' journey in the wilderness to worship me.
Mm-hmm.
So God's making a lot of points here with Pharaoh, making a lot of points. You know what I'm saying? He's teaching a lot of lessons through Pharaoh that we need to learn about exalting ourselves and being humble and also considering the will of God and being good to other people. And remember, too, several times in Deuteronomy, God says the reason you're to be good to people is because remember how you were treated in Egypt. Don't treat people like that. You treat people with respect and as a fellow Israelite is essentially what he says.
It looked like he was showing him over and over that mm-hmm. you have to be good to people. You have, you know, these yeah. are my people. You need to learn to be. That's what it sounded like.
And remember how this started too. The people cried out, and God heard their cries and remembered his promises, his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, you know, that's kind of the thrust that kind of put everything, or the igniter that put everything into motion. All right, anyone else on the plague or on that interaction between Moses and Pharaoh?
Yes.
Go ahead, Randy.
So let me back up a little bit, and there's a reason for it. Let's see, where is it? In chapter 9, verse 3, the hand of the Lord will come with a severe pestilence on. Now notice what it says. Your livestock which are in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the herds, on the flocks. As you come on down, it says in verse 6, but of the livestock of, I'm sorry, wait a second. And all the livestock in Egypt died. Does that mean that just their livestock died, or did all the animals die? Two trains of thought. If just their livestock died, that's amazing in and of itself. So the mm-hmm. wild animals and that kind of stuff didn't die. But I say all that because in verse 10, that these boils are going to be on man and beast. What beast? They all died. If it was the beast of the, if it was the livestock of the Egyptians, this was probably a year or two later. Because they would have to reestablish their herds.
Yeah, the NIV said the livestock of the Egyptians died.
So that time element could be huge to where it might have been a year or two later after the last plague.
That is an interesting point, Randy.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, because the New King James said stock of Egypt, but the NIV said the Egyptians' livestock died.
Yeah.
So
that's
the
same thing.
You're talking in which verse? What about in verse?
There was 6. 10? Oh,
what
10?
About verse 10?
Verse 10 says,
with so swords took, at the end of it.
Okay, verse 10 says, so they took soot from a furnace and stood before Pharaoh. Let me see in the New King James, it says...
You're right. Keep reading.
Oh.
Yeah. It'd be the end of the verse where it talk, where it says the sores came on man and beast.
Okay. Oh, it said boils broke out on people and animals.
Yeah. Moses. So which animals were those?
Yeah. Yeah. Which ones were left? Yeah.
Well, see, this one. So they took soot from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh. Moses tossed it into the air, and festering balls broke out on people and animals. The magician could not stand before Moses because of the balls that were on all Egyptians.
Yeah, so we would assume, and I think it's a right assumption, that after all the livestock of the Egyptians died, they went and pilfered all the livestock in Goshen to reestablish their herds. And if these are the ones that get the sores, that would have taken
a long time.
A year or two to get that back established.
Yeah.
Or even traded with another neighbor, or bought from a nearby neighbor, or just taken from a nearby neighbor get their cattle's their herds reestablished. Wow. Good catch there, Randy.
Yes, interesting.
See, and that's why we do this. That's why we go through these the way we're doing it, because it's little details like that. Like, how would a person who wants to disprove the Bible look at that?
Hmm.
Well, it doesn't give us a time frame, so we got to kind of interject that. So.
Well, right, but we only did that because by the grace of God, we've already been talking about time frame. I just didn't see how that might have applied there, but you did. And but someone who's a non-believer, they're going to see that and go, well, where'd they get the cattle from? It just said they killed all the cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I mean, how many people, even if, how many of us, like, I mean, Randy's the only one of us that caught it. So how many people reading through there, even thinking about the time frame, would have caught that? Not many.
Mm-mm.
But Randy did. Thank you so much, Randy. That's an amazing point.
Yeah.
Which brings us back to the other plagues, right? They had to clean up after the frogs. We don't know how long that took. They had to clean up after the cattle. We don't know how long that took. And now they got it's not just cattle. It's their horses, which pulled their chariots. It's their donkeys, which were beasts of burdens.
And goats.
Camels, which I'm not sure what they use camels for, but maybe milk. And on the
traveling.
Herds. What's that, Randy?
Traveling. They traveled.
And herds and flocks. And that could be pigs. It could be sheep. It could be goats. I don't think it'd be sheep. I think it'd be goats. But
is there the ox? And
ox.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be all kinds of things. So that's, wow.
Oh.
So let's think about that for a second. That means God isn't just going from plague to plague. Lord, I'm going to let you have it. He's letting Egypt recover from the plagues and then bring the next one.
Yeah.
Daniel.
Yes, Linda.
Chapter 9 and 2 was telling if you refuse to let them go, he said the Lord will put a hand on your cattle and name all the cattle of Egypt. So he made a difference between livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt.
Yeah, and that's one of the things Randy said was they might have, after all their livestock died, they might have gone up and got livestock from the Israelites.
Right.
Well, isn't that what you would do? You got a bunch of slaves that have a bunch of livestock, so
that is what you would do.
Yeah.
Oh, just go and take them.
Speaking of that, does it say anywhere that the Israelites and their slavery is ended at this point?
No.
They're still working as slaves. They're still doing the stuff they've been doing from before Pharaoh Moses got there.
Yeah, don't say that they didn't have anything. So
let's think about that. If they're the slaves, but it's the Egyptians' cattle and stuff, who's probably doing a lot of the cleanup work?
The slaves.
The slave.
Right? Interesting. All right, one little detail. Look how much that opened up for us. Randy, good job.
Yeah.
All right, anybody else in that section?
No.
All right, let's move on to plague. I guess it'd be 7 now, right?
That's the hail.
Verses 18 through 26. Let's take this one section at a time. Someone else want to take that?
I can read it if nobody want to read it. 18 through 26.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as has not been in Egypt since its founding until now. Therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the fields, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and it shall die. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the fields. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand towards heaven, and there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, on every herbs of the field, throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingling with the hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in the land of Egypt, since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the fields, both man and beast, and the hail struck every herbs of the field and brought every tree of the fields. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail.
Now, nowadays, Egypt's pretty much a desert, except for short areas right around the Nile. But there is some evidence that potentially Egypt was just as green as, like, going up to, say, central coast of Oregon and Washington, or Napa Valley, that it was quite lush. Because remember, just 400 years, or maybe 200 years, it was anyway, a few hundred years earlier, Joseph, there was so much grain in Egypt, the people from the whole world came. So Egypt was a very fertile place to grow food. So they probably got more rain then than they do now. It also is what's possible. But still, Egypt isn't in the southern hemisphere, but they're still kind of close to the equator, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that in Egypt, they're not probably going to see hail a whole lot.
Mm-mm.
Now, they might see hail sometimes, right? But
very rare.
And it says it twice, that the hail would come, such heavy hail that had not been seen since the day Egypt was founded until that day. Mm-hmm. And then it said again in verse 23. In a later verse, says it twice. When I was like 12 years old, I forget how old I was now, my grandma and her husband lived in Boise. And I went out to visit them from Portland. And when I got there, I noticed that there were a bunch of signs, hail sales. And there's all the commercials from car dealerships and stuff. Mm-hmm. Come buy the inventory that was damaged by the hail. It still runs, but get a great deal. And I asked my grandma, what are you talking about? What is this hail? And she described how there was a hailstorm just a couple weeks before I got there, and the hail was the size of a softball.
Oh, yeah. Texas had that.
Yeah, I've seen it, baby.
Yeah.
I've never seen hail like that. And I've been through some hailstorms, but I've never seen hail big. The biggest hail I've seen was like maybe the size of my fingernail. Maybe. But
they get really big.
Yeah, so I've never seen that. Well, I'm now imagine living in a place where they never get hail.
Oh, sure. That's scary.
Yes,
or rarely.
It says since Egypt, it had become a nation. They hadn't seen it. So
yeah, and so if this is 1440, now I'm trying to remember. If this is 1440 BC, Egypt had been a nation at least 1,000 years at this point, at least. And that's just according to our historical records that we have. So this is a long time that we're talking about here. And we also have something new happen. A couple new things happen. God basically warns all the Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
And the Egyptians, at least some of them, listen and are afraid. And they respond. And that's an amazing thing. So this is plague 7 now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, the Nile turned to blood. We've had lice or gnats. We've had flies. We've had our cattle die. We've had frogs. We've had boils. And let's just add into the potential that maybe it's not a few months here, but maybe it's been a few years.
Yeah.
And there's some major time span going on between these plagues. Major time span, months, maybe, mm-hmm. between these plagues. But the aftermath of the plagues is still going on when the next plague's announced. So now by the time you get to plague 7, some of the Egyptians are like, what is our God going to do? Okay, well, let's go get our cattle and let's make sure this stuff's inside. And that's amazing. We'll see even more some amazing things once we get to the last plague. Anyway.
And that same comment that I made, you know, run it through this. Now they do have livestock. So
yeah,
they're definitely a period of time. So if the first one of all the livestock dying and the beast, you know, the wild beasts were still alive, you know, maybe that was a shorter period of time, but now they do have their livestock back. So there was a period of time between two plagues ago and this.
Well, even if they did get new livestock from wild beasts, they've still got to be domesticated and bred. That's still going to take some time.
What I'm saying is the first one where it says that the animals would die, it says from your livestock. So it could have been just the livestock of Egypt, not like the wild animals.
Okay.
You know, that was, and they might have been, the wild animals might have been the ones who got the boils when it says the beast, but now they for sure have their livestock back.
Yeah.
So you definitely have a period of time from that, all the livestock dying, and now they have livestock again.
Yep.
Oh yeah, that was a long time.
So to follow Randy's progression that he brought up last week, boy, Randy, maybe you should be teaching this class. we go from the river, the Nile, to the ground, to the insects, to the cattle, and now with the hail, we're going into the sky. This is going to be blowing the Egyptians' mind. It's no wonder that a lot of them are going to be hiding their new livestock. They just got their livestock back. Well, I'm not going to lose it again. Well, but now we're back to that. Is not all the Egyptians listened. Some of them, they didn't listen. Their livestock died. The hail, verse 25, the hail struck all that was in the field through all the land of Egypt, both man and beast. So even people were like, pshaw, whatever. They're going to bring hail. Whatever. Boink, dead. Or actually, it wouldn't be boink, I guess it'd be thud. Dead. Think about what kind of hail we're talking about. Even if it was just small little hail, to be so heavy that it's killing man and beast as it's coming down. Serious stuff.
Oh, not a force.
And verse 24, there was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail. Such very severe. There it is, verse 24. Such had not been seen. So I'm assuming this is lightning. But What if it is fire? What if it's not lightning? What if it is fire? I mean, whoa.
That's.
Go ahead.
No, I said they wouldn't be able to avoid that.
Yeah. And now we're back to the repeating a pattern that was before. The Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward the sky." Mm-hmm. So now it's not stretch out your hand over, stretch out your hands toward the sky. I've been wondering for a while, really, this study's kind of, and I may have even mentioned it, why God works like that. He didn't need Moses to stretch out his hand over the... Now, for Moses' sake and Aaron's sake, I know it's to show Pharaoh and the Egyptians, I'm working through these guys. These are my guys. Mm-hmm. Yes. I get that. But it's always fascinating to me. God doesn't need us for that. God doesn't need some man to do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, God has chosen, a lot of times, he works through people. And I guess it's to... I mean, that's how evangelism works too, right? I mean, God has spoken, right? But what did the Ethiopians say? How can I know unless someone teach me?
Oh, yeah.
Right? So God works through us with that. So maybe this is kind of that template of God doesn't need us, but that is what God has designed, that we would be a part of the process. Mm-hmm. And working miracles is one of those things that God has chosen to work through people as well. Which is obviously through prophets too. But all right, so that's that section. But now, 26, the land of Goshen, where the sons of Israel were, there was no hail. So now this is kind of making me wonder. Remember we had that map of Egypt, right? So Goshen, it's kind of weird. So here's Goshen, there's my hand. That's kind of what Goshen was, is a big fertile land and tributaries that run into the Mediterranean. And then the Nile comes down, and basically outside of Goshen, that's basically all Egypt, all the way down into Ethiopia and stuff, right? We talked about one of the earlier studies how, you know, the Israelites were slaves all over Egypt, but it keeps saying how they're in Goshen. And we talked about how, well, maybe their homes are in Goshen, and maybe they get time off to go rest or whatever, and they travel to Goshen. I don't know all the logistics, but this also kind of may lend into this time factor, that the Israelites, hearing these plagues are coming, they say, we're out of here. We're going up to Goshen. We're not going to be around for this nonsense. But anyway. All right. So that's through verse 26. Anybody else? All right. We're almost out of time. We did start a little late, though, so we can go a little late. If someone else wants to read verses 27 through 35.
And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are wicked. Entreat the Lord, and there may be no more mighty thundering and hail, for it is enough. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. So Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease and there will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. Now the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was in the head and the flax was in the bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not struck, for they are late crops. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord. Then the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured on the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more, and he hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses.
Now this is, I think, the third time that Pharaoh calls for Moses. I found twice before, in 8, twice in chapter 8, where Pharaoh calls for Moses. That's the only two other times I've found so far. It doesn't mean those are the only times, just because there were plenty of times, we've all seen a couple times where we're not told of interaction between Moses and Pharaoh. That could be. But this is the third time now, and look at how even Pharaoh is responding. I've sinned this time. This is on me.
Yeah.
I admit it. This is all my fault. Jehovah is righteous. I and my people, we are the wicked ones. I mean, come on. That is just amazing. But this also, again, speaks to time. Because in the previous verses that we read about how the hail was coming, it's killing people. Moses and Aaron aren't already before Pharaoh. Pharaoh's got to say, all right, go find those two guys and bring them here. Mm-hmm. And we don't know how far away Moses and Aaron were from Pharaoh when Pharaoh calls for them. So we could be talking, you know, another couple of days, because maybe Moses and Aaron are back in Goshen. Well, where's Pharaoh? Well, we don't know where Pharaoh is at this point. He could be down in Thebes. He could be down in Memphis, but you know, we could be talking several more days, and there's all this hail falling. However long it is, whether it's a couple of hours or a few days or a week or 2 weeks, the hail is falling all this time. And God makes this point. The flax and the barley were ruined. I don't know. I know flax was used for clothing and some other things. It was also used for food. Barley was also a major crop. That's what a lot of bread was made from, was barley. It's either barley or wheat, sometimes both. Barley is, I think, barley is the hard flour. Barley is hard flour, and wheat is the softer flour. Wheat is like cake flour. Anyway, the wheat wasn't ruined yet because it grows late. So even though all this hail, there's still time for the wheat to recover. Mm-hmm. So we know now this is the springtime, or leading into spring, because the wheat grows in the fall and the barley and the flax are in the spring. Or is it vice versa?
No, the wheat is in the fall, I think.
Yeah, I think the wheat's in the fall. And spelt. I don't know much about spelt. I just know it's another food crop. So Moses went out of the city, spread his hands, and the thunder and the hail. So there's not just hail falling all this time, the lightning or the fire. And of course, we didn't talk about thunder. There's thunder accompanying the lightning or the fire. And the hail ceased and the rain. So there's rain too? Wow. No longer poured on the earth. But then Pharaoh saw the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased. He sinned again and hardened his heart. He and his servants, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He did not let the sons of Israel go, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. So this is, now we're going, God's teaching us about connecting dots. This is back Exodus 3 and 4. That's what that is. God told Moses, maybe a couple of years ago now, back at Mount Sinai, back in Midian, Pharaoh will not let you go unless I force him to. And that's what we're seeing. Okay. And then by the way, speaking of, now we're back to this time thing again. Moses didn't say, as soon as I get out of your palace. He said, as soon as I get out of the city.
Right.
How long did that take?
Sure, yeah.
And then remember this too, Moses and Aaron, they've got to walk through the hail and the rain and the thunder and stuff too.
Yeah.
But apparently they're protected somehow.
Yeah.
You know, shields. They could have had something like an umbrella, but I mean, if this hail is killing people, are they going to be able to stand? Well, I mean, what's God doing? Well, God's protecting them.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Anybody else in that section? Well, all right then. I guess we're done. I have not heard from Deb yet. I sent her a text. She's not answered. So hopefully she's okay.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm gonna try and call her again.
Yeah, let us know if you either way.
Okay.
And if we can get a hold of her or not, I might drive over there tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay. Bill, glad you're doing at least somewhat better. Good enough to be on tonight. Russ, sounds like you're doing better.
Yeah, I had a real good day today, actually.
Good.
Went and had physical therapy, and my pain in my shoulder's about all gone now.
Oh, wow.
Good.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
God is good.
And I'm the only one canes. My legs are getting stronger.
Wow.
I'll be able to bowl in a couple of weeks, I hope.
All right.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi. I don't know if you guys can hear me or not.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
Oh, you can?
We can now.
Oh, I'm so my phone isn't working very well.
We didn't hear you before. If you were doing something, we didn't hear you until just now. Well, all right then. Well, chapter 10 next week. I mean, chapters 11 through 14 are some of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. 15.
Oh, okay, good.
So we might really slow down when we get into chapter 11. I mean, chapter 11 is only 10 verses, so we can probably do that in a single night. But chapter 12, that might take us a couple of weeks to get through. Maybe three. Because chapter 12, there's a lot going on. It's theologically important for us as Christians. There's a lot of and then 13 with the death with the firstborn, and then when God starts leading them out in chapter 13, and the Red Sea, and the pillar of cloud and fire, and then the Song of Moses, and we might spend a couple of months just these next couple of chapters because they are so vital to everything.
Yeah.
They almost should be in Genesis. That's how vital they are.
Oh, wow.
So anyway,
Jerry just sent the message.
Oh.
She said, I talked to Debbie Monday. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Jerry.
Well, she's still answering when this is Thursday now, so... Now I'm even starting to wonder, did I really even see her on last night? I just glanced the screen as I'm in there. I don't pay very close attention because I'm trying to get ready for class and stuff. So anyway, so chapter 10 next week.
Chapter 10.
The last plagues 8 and 9. So Lord willing, the Lord will bless us with another week to learn some more about the scriptures and get ourselves right and pleasing to him. All right, Russ, you want to say a prayer to close us up?
Sure.
Cool.
Lord, our Father, thank you for giving us this day where we could study your word and we may learn from it to become better Christians and be able to relay this to other peoples that may not know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Everybody have a good night.
You too.
You too.
You too.
Thanks, everybody.